Hey, Fantasy Football Factory listeners, you can find every episode of Fantasy Football Factory on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Factory Pod. NFL Week 4 in the books. Looking ahead to NFL Week 5. A lot of stuff to get into. I'm one of your hosts, Ben Mintz. I am actually in Las Vegas today, not in the studio, getting ready to fire a World Series of Poker later. Super excited about that. Joined, as always, by Stephen Shea. How are you, Mr. Shea?
Good, man. Not as good as you. Vegas. Viva. 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 Viva Las Vegas, man. You're playing the World Series of Poker.
Yes, so Viva it is. I'm actually staying at the M Resort, a beautiful Penn property. In Vegas. Want to thank them for their hospitality. I flew out here yesterday, and we're taping this Monday for those at home. It's going to be released on Tuesday. Played in a $500 tournament reunion yesterday. Played for a couple hours. Did okay. Started with 50,000, headed up to like 80. And then I won't go too – you can check the blog and Kraken Aces for more technical poker stuff. But lost a pretty big pot with Pocket Kings. Then I lost a coin flip with Pocket Threes against Ace Jack. Was going to rebuy, but just was on really low sleep because I flew out at 5 a.m. and decided, you know, if my mindset, if I'm tired at the table, it's going to be hard to crush it. So went back, ate some awesome sushi, watched your Tampa Bay Bucks. Sunday night. Football, 1917, the Tom Brady game. Got a good night's sleep, and I'm playing the $600 deep stack tournament today, $1,000 tournament tomorrow, and going to try to stay out here this week and just really excited about it. It's fun for me. The last time I played the World Series of Poker, I got 327th in the main event in 2018, but this is my first Vegas trip, 3.5 years, so it's great to be back. I'm excited.
So, I mean, I used to follow poker when I was younger. Like, it was big when I was in high school. I'm 35 years old now, so I was right in the middle of that like poker boom. Are you playing the main event? Like, when is — I thought the World Series of Poker is just like one big tournament. Are you not in that, or are you doing like some satellites, or how does that work?
Okay, so the World Series is actually 6 weeks long.
Oh, Jesus.
The main event is November the 5th. That weekend, it's 10-1. I'm taking two trips. Okay. Because, you know, Steven, how can I hadn't played a live poker tournament since COVID.
Gotta get reps in, yeah.
And I think there's no chance you can just show up to a 10K main event after you hadn't played in almost 2 years and expect to compete. Yep. So we're out here playing some of the smaller ones, the 500, the 600, 1,000, maybe a few more. I'm going to blog it all on the Barstool Sports blog. You're going to see interviews, follow Cracking Aces. The podcast, we're going to do tons and tons of stuff with it. And I'm kind of – this trip is more about getting my sea legs, my game sharp, and then we're coming back from the main. I'm 2 for 5 in my lifetime. I'm going to try to make that 3 out of 6. And this, I'll just say it, the Stoolies deserve a World Series main event run. They deserve it. And I'm hoping the guy – I'm the guy to bring it to them.
A few years ago, we had Nate actually be in – I think he was like one of the top chip leaders after a couple days, and there was some — it was very exciting around the office because some people had like sponsored him and stuff like that.
I followed that, but it was still so early. That main is like day 7, day 8. Like, he was hot day 1, day 2, but like, that's, you know,
yeah.
I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg. If you're actually going to do well, right, you don't make the money till day 4. I made day 6 in 2011, and then on the transition, I had a freaking horrible weekend. Holy crap. If it could go wrong, it went wrong. I went like 10 and 20 on Pick Central, and I was actually happy to go 10 and 20. It could have been worse. For all this, I get it for one of the games of our school's history, and we get beat within an inch of our lives by Alabama Saturday. It was 28-0 at the half, and it probably wasn't even that close. And I'm on the live stream with Dave and them. My team gets crushed. And then, oh, yeah, fast forward to Sunday, Saints up 21-10 in the fourth against the winless Giants. First home game since Hurricane Ida. The dome's rocking, and the Saints blow it. And, yeah. So, bad gambling weekend. My team's lost. Just glad we got a fresh start. It's a new week at this point.
Yeah, this weekend was an interesting one because on Dear Mr. Fantasy, which we stream with Nick Duraney, it went pretty well. Not only was the stream good, but I hit on a lot of the recommendations. I was heavy buying Cordarrelle Patterson, who had an incredible day, 3 touchdowns yesterday. My bet of the day, my favorite play of the day, was Corey Davis over his receiving yards, 54.5, and a touchdown, and nailed that. I think he had 111 receiving yards. And then Kenny Golladay, who I was also buying on the stream, had a nice day, over 100 yards. So that went really well. My individual fantasy games didn't go as well. But then the night portion, the Tom Brady, I mean, it was just kind of a media circus. We saw the report from Schefter in the morning, like more media passes had ever been given out this than like ever. And I don't know. It was an underwhelming game, I thought. I thought the most memorable part of the game is going to be Steve Belichick's facial expressions. And if you had told me that going in, I'd be like, what happened during the game? And it was just... it was tough weather-wise. Like, it was rainy, a lot of drops. So, you know, both teams weren't really able to, I mean, especially the Bucs weren't able to sustain drives as much. Tough game. Carlton Davis, our best corner, got hurt. So now we're down to 3 top corners. Richard Sherman played basically the whole game. It was just kind of a weird game. I thought Mac Jones was pretty impressive for especially for a young guy in that type of spot. And he was getting hit a lot after he threw, and I thought he did a nice job. But good stuff to look forward for with the Pats. I jumped on a pod with Fasuli, we call him Nick Fasoli, and Jerry Thornton after the game, do your pod to recap that game. But from a fantasy perspective, that game left a lot of meat on the bone. So let's get into that. But first, I want to talk about how we are sponsored and presented by Miller Lite. You see it right over my shoulder. You see it right in front of my laptop. Miller Lite, the absolute reigning champion of light beers. Great tasting, less filling. I had some Miller Lights yesterday on the couch. The Miller Time bottles, I love those. The 1 pint, 16 ounce, just the perfect amount. If you have 2 of those, I think that's kind of right. My sweet spot with some buffalo chicken. Excellent, excellent stuff to do while your team's putting up Miller Times in the end zone, scoring touchdowns. Miller Lite is the reigning champion of light beers. 96 calories, 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces, brewed in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you want to find a Miller Lite, get it delivered to you. Go to MillerLite.com/fantasy to find delivery options near you. I mean, you can find Miller Lite everywhere you go. But Miller Lite, awesome, awesome stuff. Thank you for the sponsorship. And let's get into some of these games. So, and some of our top performers, really. So I know that the demise of Jonathan Taylor has been greatly exaggerated. So yesterday with a big bounce back game, 16 carries, 103 yards on touchdown, 3 catches, 2 for 11 yards. What'd you think of JT's bounce back performance?
Well, I think maybe first of all, it was huge for him and Indy. He had to get a win at 0-3, and Wentz looked better too. Maybe is he just like a slow starter every year? Is that possibly a trend with him? I don't know. I mean, he looked good yesterday. Yeah. We'll see if we can get it together more. But last year, I remember everybody bailed on him and he just went nuts down the stretch. You know, this is just one game, but certainly if you're a Jonathan Taylor owner, you got to be encouraged because it had been looking very, very rough.
If I'm a Jonathan Taylor owner, I'm still looking to sell. And I think this is an encouraging sign because he did have a really nice game, but I still would be looking to sell. I mean, a nice game, 16 carries, 103 yards in the touchdown, but like, they played Miami. They played another bad team. Their schedule is pretty good over the next couple weeks, but still, he's not a guy that I'm going to necessarily count on. If I'm looking at him and Nyheim Hines, I probably will take Taylor head-to-head, but it's not like a super easy decision. So if you can get value for Jonathan Taylor similar to where you drafted him, I think you should do that.
Yeah, and also, you do want to mention, even in his good game, he only had 16 carries. That's a guy, like, when they're winning, you're hoping gets 20, 25, 30. You know, like, that.
He hasn't been that volume guy this year, which is surprising. Like, I don't think he's been over 20 carries in a single game this year, which you would expect from a workhorse back. Speaking of 20 carries and a workhorse back, Zeke Elliott, is he back?
Well, game flow. So a lot of it, we always talk about game flow and game script. In Dallas, when they get the lead, you know, the game they ran the ball, Prescott's known to throw it 40, 50 times, threw it, what, 14 to 22 yesterday?
Yeah.
Even though he had 4 touchdowns. So, I mean, I feel good about Zeke. The offensive line, the big thing is last year, the offensive line had huge injuries. Getting Zach Martin back out there healthy, the O-line's playing well. That, you know, obviously they lost Dak, and that crushed him last year. Pollard's still getting a ton of carries.
I mean, 10 yesterday to Zeke's 20.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like one of those things where, like, is he back as like a top 3 to top 5 guy? Probably not, but he's still back as like a low low RB one, I'd say, is I think where I'd got him.
Through 4 weeks right now, and we're taping this before, you know, the Monday night game. So Josh Jacobs only played one game, but like Austin Eckler could vault himself into this category. Zeke Elliott is RB four through 4 weeks of the season, behind Derrick Henry, who has the lead by a mile, by an absolute mile. You know who RB two is? This is going to very much surprise you.
It's DeAndre Swift.
It's Cordarrelle Patterson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cordarrelle Patterson by like a pretty healthy margin. He's almost 7 points higher than the next guy, which is Aaron Jones. Wow. So Cordarrelle Patterson, a guy that we recommended on this show when he was 14% rostered that you needed to pick up 2 weeks ago. Just want to take a second to gloat on this. Yesterday, dear Mr. Fantasy with the stream, this was a guy that I was buying big time. I loved the matchup against Washington. I actually, on this show last week, I recommended my three plays for this week or for week four were Corey Davis, Mike Davis, and Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson went absolutely nuts. Six carries, which was his season low for 34 yards, but through the air, five catches, 82 yards, three of those going for touchdowns. Cordarrelle Patterson setting the league on fire. Cordarrelle
Patterson, Miller time celebrations in the end zone, three of them. And, you know, I saw a stat, Shay. He had three touchdowns in the last 4 years, and he had three yesterday.
I mean, wow. He was being primarily used as a returner. Like, he wasn't really being used as a receiver in Minnesota a little bit. But in Chicago, like, he was just kind of the return guy. And he was very good at that. But the fact that he's being utilized in this multifaceted role, I kind of made fun of him before the year started, saying Mike Davis had so much job security because his backup running backs running number 84. The backup running backs RB2 in fantasy through 4 weeks.
Yeah, and Mike Davis had 13 carries for 14 yards yesterday. And he looked, don't get me wrong.
Scored a touchdown.
I know, but he's kind of just a guy. You know, Cordarrelle's a playmaker.
Yep.
And, you know, Cordarrelle playing in Atlanta on that fast track, too. I feel like that suits his explosive skill set. There's kind of higher scoring games in those dome games. We saw that yesterday in that 34-30 game. So, I mean, his role, you know, is he going to score three touchdowns every week? Obviously not. But, yep. I mean, his role, it's not like it's a fluke. I mean, I think his role is going to continue to improve, especially with Mike Davis not really standing out.
Yeah. So, I mean, right now, Cordarrelle Patterson must start. Like, he's RB2. If you have him in Yahoo, where he can be a running back or receiver, in ESPN, he's a running back only. But in Yahoo, he is wide receiver 5 right now. He's tied with DJ Moore, the same amount of points. So wherever you are with Cordarrelle Patterson, if he is on your roster, you have to start him. It doesn't matter what position, you have to start him.
And this kind of goes back to just, you talked about the zero running back thing for years.
This you can is an find exact these guys.
Example of, no, this is an exact example of how randomness in fantasy football running backs can get you. And like everybody that took McCaffrey number one and Dalvin Cook number two, and like what it's doing to their teams right now. Whereas if you like lay back and you get the stud receivers that are more stable, and then you know find the value in the waiver wire, it's like almost a better strategy.
So an interesting thing when I was actually researching the receivers today, in that it's not as predictable as you would think. The top 10, how many of you, I'm going to read off the top 10 receivers through 4 weeks. We're going to exclude, or Mike Williams will be on here because he's playing tonight. But listen to these. How many of these guys were like top three rounders? Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuel, DJ Moore, Cordarrelle Patterson, Mike Williams, Terry McLaurin, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Tyler Lockett. I would say Lockett, no. Chase, no. Jefferson, yes. McLaurin is right around there. Mike Williams, no. Cordarrelle Patterson, no. DJ Moore, no. Deebo Samuel, no. Cooper Kupp, and not a top three round guy. So you're talking 7 out of the top 10 receivers.
If you listen to this pod, you know.
Yes. But he would have been, even with this pod, like, he's right kind of on the fringe of like low round three, which was way higher than most people. But still, like, we're looking at 7 of the top 10 wide receivers not being the predictable, like, you know, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, Calvin Ridley, like this group that we kind of had elevated above everyone else.
They're right. And then you look at A.J. Brown's had the hamstring thing. He struggled. It makes me feel smart because the Jamar Chase and DJ Moore things, who I was big on, them doing well. And then you were big on Terry McLaurin, who I was wet, could not have been more wrong on, especially when Taylor Heineke's out there, because Heineke, man, he's fun. He's a fun one.
Yeah.
He makes those games interesting.
That game-winning play that he had yesterday, where he saw J.D. McKissic in the flat, and he just ran farther away from him to give him more space. was incredible. I mean, he is a great, great story. He's fantasy relevant. Yes. Yeah. He's absolutely fantasy relevant. But yeah, let's talk about, speaking of quarterbacks, the number one quarterback in all drafts really asserted himself as that guy. Right now, he is the reigning QB1 of the season so far. Yesterday, 278 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, 26 rushing yards for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like he's been on that pedestal the last couple of years and gets taken for granted, and then everybody's like, they're 1-2, and people are freaking out and stuff. He was actually 9-1 to win the MVP this week, and I thought that was crazy how good that value was. Before, like, because when they were 1-2, and because nobody's really asserted themselves. Yeah. And yesterday, Andy Reid going back to Philly, and Tyreek Hill got taken out last week, didn't do much the last week. Yeah. 11 for 186, 3 touchdowns. You know, I feel like the Chiefs maybe losing those couple games is what they needed, because, you know, gambling wise, they haven't been covering the spread. It feels like they've been kind of headed a little bit stuck in neutral. They get down in the first half, they have slow starts. They came out and really played yesterday. And we're super motivated, scoring 42 points. And, you know, Mahomes, I mean, what can you even say? Just the explosiveness. Anytime he drops back, it could be a touchdown. And he does give you, you know, you mentioned 26 yards rushing, but he does give you that 300-400 yards and a few touchdowns a year rushing too. Yep. Yeah, and I think that that's super important, especially if you're in a league with only four-point touchdowns. So, yeah, he reasserts himself as QB1. And the thing with Mahomes too, the consistency – it's so good with him. Like Lamar Jackson, awesome in fantasy, but can have some bad games when he doesn't get it going running. Like Mahomes week to week, like the worst you're getting is what, 250 and 2 touchdowns on a bad week.
Yeah.
You know, the consistent the floor, the thing with the steady floor is just such a huge thing with him.
Yeah. I want to talk about stay on quarterbacks for a second. And something that I find pretty interesting is the NFC East. So the NFC Beast, as it's been called, guess how this stacks through the first 4 weeks of the season in terms of fantasy performers. And you've seen the games.
I can certainly assure you after one we're going to talk about just dropped 400 on my team yesterday. Yeah. Certain Daniel Jones, who has played very well the last few weeks. I mean, even in they lost that game to the football team, 31-29, scores 27 in New Orleans against a good Saints defense. You know, and then you look at Heineke, and obviously everybody knows about Dak Prescott. And then you look at Jalen Hurts, who threw for, you know, they may have gotten beat, but 387, 2 touchdowns, and ran for 47 yards. Would have never seen the NFC Beast as this fantasy kingdom. It's definitely a wild development.
If you go by points per game in starts, Dak Prescott is last of the NFC East group. So it's Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, Taylor Heineke, if we're looking at per start, because he came in, I believe it was in the second half of the opening week against the Chargers. But every start he's had, he's put up at least 20 fantasy points. And then Dak Prescott would be fourth, which is mind-blowing. Especially since they had 4 touchdowns yesterday.
No, it is wild. The Taylor Heineke and Daniel Jones, I mean, that's not a lot of people saw that coming. You did say Daniel Jones is underrated going into the year, though. I remember you did say that.
I did. I thought he was. I mean, everyone points to last year with, you know, 11 touchdowns, 10 picks. I mean, the year before, he had 24 touchdowns as a rookie. So, like, he's not a scrub. Like, he had a bad year. They had a new coaching staff. Like, I'm going to chalk it up to that. Daniel Jones can play. If he is a confetti quarterback, I'm not really sure about that. He still does turn the ball over too much. But from a fantasy perspective, I mean, the guy has wheels. He can throw it deep. He's now got a pretty good receiving core, even though a lot of them are banged up. They're going to be playing from behind probably a lot. So I like Daniel Jones as a fantasy quarterback. Right now, he is QB6 in fantasy, which is a lot better than most people would have thought. One other quarterback I wanted to talk about.
Oh, he's got his rushing value.
Yes. Speaking of quarterbacks with rushing value, the league leader in rushing touchdowns, his name is Sam Darnold. He has 5 rushing touchdowns through 4 weeks. Who would have saw that coming? Incredible. I mean, he has more rushing touchdowns than Derrick Henry. What? Like Sam Darnold, that just a cast off, traded for a 3rd-round pick? Like, who would have thought? And it is the ultimate kick in the nuts to Christian McCaffrey owners or Chuba Hubbard managers when you see, you know, you draft Christian McCaffrey like number 1 overall, you know, you handcuff him with Hubbard and you're expecting, you know, this high volume, high touchdown performer, And then all the rushing touchdowns are going to Sam Darnold. And they're not, like 1 yard rushing touchdowns. I mean, he's scrambling from, you know, inside the 10 typically. So it's been very cool to see what they're doing with their offense, where they're kind of stretching the defense out on a lot of his rushing touchdowns. You'll see a jet sweep motion to kind of, basically elongate part of the defensive line, and then you can kind of make a read from there. But it's very interesting how they're using him, because he does have wheels, and people don't talk about this. He used to play linebacker, so I mean, he can take some hits.
Yeah, no, I mean, people aren't everything you're saying is true, and it's kind of hard to believe. You wouldn't have thought of it this before. I want to talk about BetterHelp, one of the services that first of all, thanks to them for sponsoring the Fantasy Football Factory. But I want to add, I signed up for this last week.
Nice. How's it been going?
It's just awesome stuff that we've taken the stigma in life out of mental health. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember, Shay, when, you know, 15, 20 years ago when we were kids, you just always say, toughen up, son, man up, get through it. But man, everybody in the world's tough. Everybody's dealing with problems. There's no shame and no stigma in trying to get help. And the best way to think about therapy is through a bunch of analogies. We get our cars tuned up to prevent bigger issues down the road. We get annual checkups to go to the gym to maintain physical wellness. We do chores regularly, so why not focus on our mental health? BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Why, if you're going to invest in everything in your life, you're going to put so much time into your work, your family, your hobbies – why not try to get your mind right and improve your mind? It just makes sense. Everything else will be way better. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/factory. That's BETTERHELP.com/factory. Get your mind right with BetterHelp, and looking forward to seeing if it's going to help me out.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Happy that you're doing that. That's nice. All right, let's talk about David Montgomery of the Bears. So he went down yesterday.
He had 100 yards and 2 touchdowns before he went down, too.
Yeah, I mean, he had a game. I was playing against him in a couple of leagues. Not my favorite guy to face yesterday. But then he went down. They're saying it doesn't look like a torn ACL, but they're rescanning him today. The fact that it's gotten to that level, that they're talking those terms, is a little bit scary for his fantasy managers. Is playoff Damian Williams worth an ad right now? He had 8 carries, 55 yards, and a rushing touchdown, 2 grabs for 15 yesterday. Are you adding this guy? He's in 8% of leagues.
I'm doing it, and I'll tell you why. First of all, Matt Nagy didn't call plays yesterday. They shifted it to Bill Lazor. That can't be a bad thing because of how bad it was going, Nagy. But here's the real reason. I know Fields has been up and down, and you know he's probably not an NFL passer right now. I liked what they did yesterday using the running game. He could throw the deep ball if you set up the running game.
Like 18 attempts,
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it, though. You run the ball, Fields is a rushing threat, and then you set up some deep down the field shots. And the thing I always say is when you have a quarterback that's a running threat that people have to account for on read options and have to be worried about Fields, it opens up the other running game. And Damian Williams, you know, the eye test, you know, we talk about the eye test, but he looks explosive.
Yep.
He's quick. He looks the part. So I say he's worth an ad because if the Bears are going to have any path to being decent, they got to run the crap out of the ball and then set up play action and stuff. And so I think he's worth an ad. I do.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I absolutely think he's going to be the top waiver wire addition. And you're right. Just with Justin, it looks like Andy Dalton's going to come back and he will probably be the starter when he does return based on everything that Matt Nagy has said. But nevertheless, they still need to run the ball. And now that with David Montgomery, what it looks like as of, you know, Monday morning being out for a little while, playoff Damian Williams certainly is worth an ad and will be the top waiver pickup. You're probably going to need to spend at least 20%, probably even more of your fab budget on him to secure his services.
He's going to, in Montgomery, I'm hearing hyperextended knee. So even if he doesn't have a torn ACL, I mean, hyperextended knee is going to be a few weeks, I would think.
Absolutely. A couple other guys that are interesting potential pickups. One guy, a very explosive guy that got in also due to injury yesterday. He's probably owned in your Superflex league. It's Trey Lance. He's owned in 31% of leagues. He put up 20.38 points yesterday in standard scoring fantasy yesterday. 157 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, 9 carries, 41 yards. If you're in a Superflex league or a 2 QB league, you're going to pick him up. He's going to be a starter. In a 1 QB league, would you feel comfortable picking up and also starting Trey Lance?
So, okay, the thing with Lance, I feel like he's going to be a lot better fantasy quarterback than real life quarterback right now because of the rushing value.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're saying too.
Yep.
9 carries, 31 yards. And then you think Kyle Shanahan will find ways to run him. You know, I think Shanahan's not going to let his rookie quarterback, who he's concerned to turn the ball over, they're going to try to run the crap out of the ball. Yep. They're going to try to make it as easy for him as possible. But I do think they will continue to run him. I do. So I don't know about one QB league, but a super flex league, I think you can trot him out as number two.
I think absolutely based on matchup, like, yeah, we're kind of uncertain based on what we've seen. But overall, we do want to see, you know, more rushing. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator in Washington with Robert Griffin III. So there's absolutely a lot of fantasy potential for that. I think he's absolutely worth an ad. I think I would be a little bit nervous about starting in one QB leagues, but if the matchup is right, I would not be too scared about it.
Yeah, I think he's going to have good value. And I look, it's going to be fascinating to just watch him develop this year on that note, too, with how Shanahan's going to use him. Because for Shanahan to take him third overall, he's obviously the future of the franchise.
Yep.
But, you know, didn't even play last year at North Dakota State, coming from the FCS all the way. I mean, I'm just Kyle Shanahan, such a great play caller. I think it's just fascinating.
Yeah. Two other guys I want to talk about. One, I saw in one league I have Gronk, and I saw this guy on the waiver wire and could have added him and didn't. But now I think I regret that decision. Dawson Knox. So he's owned in 47% of leagues. He's owned in 47% of leagues, put up 18.2 points yesterday. He has 4 TDs. This season, and he's got at least one in 3 straight games. He's averaging 5 targets, almost 4 catches a game. Yesterday, he had 5 catches, 37 yards, 2 touchdowns on 8 targets. I mean, Josh Allen goes to this guy in the red zone. Like, he's attached, and, you know, we see this also with Dalton Schultz, who's, you know, quietly a top 5 fantasy tight end right now, too. Maybe something with tight ends is they don't necessarily have to be name brands. You can just be attached to one in a high scoring offense and be okay. Cause like Dawson Knox and Dalton Schultz are not name brands.
With the common denominator is Josh Allen and Dak Prescott.
Yes.
And they score a ton of points. And you know, what's been impressive to me about Buffalo, and I think Allen's running less after he got that big deal, which we've kind of talked about, but I thought that there wouldn't be Diggs dominated so much last year, 1,535 yards receiving, led the NFL. But, you know, he's distributing the ball. Beasley gets targets. Emmanuel Sanders has been a revelation there. Knox, he's distributing the ball to 3 or 4 guys, which I didn't necessarily see coming. And then, you know, if he's running less in the red zone a little bit, that helps Knox because they go to the tight end more in short yardage situations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's just – there were a couple of goal line balls that he missed yesterday, so he could have had an even better day. I think those guys are absolutely worth ads. One more guy I want to talk about, and he was a big name before, AJ Green. Is he worth an ad right now? He's owned in 24% of leagues, had 15.2 fantasy points yesterday and a half point PPR. He's gotten 6 targets in every game. Each one of the 4 games is at 6 targets. He has 2 total touchdowns, 15 catches for 248 yards. So he's on pace for over 1,000 yards.
Yeah. And another one, God, I feel like I've said this again. Another one I was wrong. I thought AJ Green was, I thought he was a corpse after what I saw.
He mailed it in last year. He mailed it in last year for sure.
Yeah, I thought that him and Burrow, you know, Burrow, the first 4 weeks last year, just force-fed him the ball down his throat. And when he couldn't do it, I was like, he's done.
Right.
Because Cincinnati's done everything they could to try to get him going. But, man, what do they say? This is funny about Arizona. You look back through the history of sports, Shay. You see it in the NBA with the Suns.
Phoenix,
you see
Suns
with the
Cardinals, training staff, NFL. Yeah.
It's a great – going to Arizona is the place to go when you're older to extend your career. It's a real thing.
That's where I want to go when I'm old, Sedona. There we come.
Look at Chris Paul, you know? I mean, it's a real thing. Something about – Arizona veterans, it's I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm sure our producer Martin Black is probably laughing right now, but because he's in Arizona.
Grant Hill, Shaq, list goes on.
No, it's a real thing, man. If you're getting old, go to Arizona. Go to the desert.
Steve Nash. Oh, yeah. It's really interesting to see just because he was such – like people talk about Julio Jones and made such a big deal about him going to Tennessee. You know who was also in that draft class? AJ Green, who – completely mailed in last year, was terrible, caught such a low target share of his balls that were targeted towards him. And then he goes to Arizona and everyone's just kind of like, okay, whatever. But Julio Jones, who also didn't have a great year, mainly due to him being injured, goes to Tennessee and everyone's like, all right, this is going to be the guy. AJ Green showing he's not done yet. So I think he's absolutely worth it. I think you can start AJ Green as a wide receiver three. I mean, he's on pace for 1,000 yards.
The only thing with Arizona, it's like how well they're distributing the ball.
Every game, 6 targets. So, like, there's been no deviation. Like,
Rondale Moore had the Brandon breakout. We've seen Christian Kirk have a good game. Max Williams, that tight end, another sneaky high scoring. You know, just get a tight end in a high scoring offense. They may catch touchdowns. He's been doing pretty well, too.
Yep.
On Arizona note, too. I didn't know that I saw this Chase Edmonds-Connor combo being so dominant, man.
Yeah.
They really complement each other well. Connor gets the goal line and a lot of the rushing touchdowns and when they have the lead. But Edmonds at 12 for 120 rushing yesterday.
Yeah.
I believe, or is it 12 for 110? It was one or the other. But and he catches the ball. Connor with 2 more TDs, man. That's a really – kind of that's a nice little combination they got.
Yeah, I would be worried about starting either of them at RB2. I feel a little bit better with Chase Edmonds. James Conner is completely touchdown dependent. They did a nice job kind of getting on top early and then establishing the game flow and kind of pounding the ball, taking the air out of it towards the end of the game and running it a lot. But early on, certainly it was, you know, a lot of points, a lot of passing game. Let's jump into next week. But before
1 point I want to make before next week.
Yeah.
Right when I got on the Kirk Cousins is really good wagon yesterday happened. I think that has to be mentioned because this is like a metaphor for his career. He'll put up really good numbers. You know, you look at the offense with Jefferson and Thielen and, you know, the running backs and just playing good in the dome. And then they come out and score 7 points at home yesterday. And I know Cleveland's defense play a lot better. But I felt like that was like kind of a microcosm of the Kirk Cousins NFL experience.
That was certainly a tough game. Cleveland Browns are for real. They are for real. Kareem Hunt also.
If they play defense like this, they are for real because, you know, last year they had a lot of injuries in the secondary and Garrett rushed, you know, had the 4.5 sacks the other night. I don't know, man. If they can play D like that with the way they run the ball with Chunt, the Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt combo at 169 combined yesterday.
Careful, Ben.
Chunt.
You haven't seen the shirts? Jeff D. Lowe put out the shirts.
Oh, no, it's very funny.
But that combo is tearing it up. And they run the ball, play physical. You know, there's not a lot of fantasy value in that passing game right now, really. But as far as everything else, looks good.
Speaking of chunts, a lot of guys have tried different ways to last longer. Thinking about baseball doesn't always work. The folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer lasting sex. Saying the Pledge of Allegiance in your head, counting backwards from 10. Those things don't work. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, fast acting, and do not require a prescription. You can ship swipes to you in a discreet, unmarked package, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. Just take swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. That is it. Go to GetRoman.com/fantasy to get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/fantasy. Awesome stuff there. Put it on your chunt. Let it dry. You're going to be good.
Yeah, and while we're at it, no shame in the getting Roman. Still a little shame for me on a certain grabbing my nuts last week on there.
Yes.
So we're gonna try to do a little, you know, do a little better this week.
Well, now we can't see. So speaking of this, so probably very few people would have caught this because even if you're listening to a podcast on YouTube, most people I feel like aren't fully watching it and kind of have headphones in or something like that. If you did watch it, there was a scene last week during our show where Ben is scratching his nuts and someone called out under the table. You can't see anything. But it was, a tough scene. You were not the biggest fan of that, and you got some guff for it on Pick Central. But hopefully we can keep our hands above the belt in future weeks.
It was a metaphor for my last week because everything went to crap. So, and shout out to our producer, though, Marty, helped get it off as quick as he could. But it was it was not my finest week, Mr. Shea, but it's a new one. It's a new one ahead, at least. And speaking of the new week ahead, we're a little bit of a – just a couple tweaks is the right word. Love the support we're getting on this podcast from the Stoolies. Feel really good about everything. We're going to focus a touch more on the weeks ahead with matchups we like and don't like because we that'll play well more going into the rest of the week. So I think that's going to be a little more of a focus going forward. And with that, looking ahead to some matchups next week, I guess you can go ahead and start.
Sure. The first matchup is the Thursday night game. It's a good matchup. NFC West is so loaded, it's hard to tell who's really the best team. I mean, it looks like the Cardinals since they just beat the Rams. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if any of these teams won the division. We're going to go Thursday night, Rams at Seahawks. The Rams are favored by 1.5, over under 53.5. We're going to do a couple start sits throughout. I want to start with my sit, which is Russell Wilson. His last three games against the Rams, I realized they had, Brandon Staley as their defensive coordinator, but their personnel is the same. Raheem Morris is a good defensive coordinator as well. He's averaging in his last three starts against the Rams, which were all last year, one in the playoffs, two in the regular season, 216 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception, and just a hair under 40 yards rushing a game. That's not what you want if you're trotting that guy out as a fantasy quarterback, especially a QB1 in a super flex league. If you're in a one QB league, it would be my recommendation to sit Russell Wilson this week against the Rams coming off of a loss.
And to expand on that, the Rams have been giving them problems because of Aaron Donald and that defensive front. Because Seattle notoriously tries to go cheap on the O-line. Yep. And they've done that for years. And Wilson, when you watch these Rams, these Seattle games, you saw in the playoff game last year too, that first, the wild card game. Or I guess it was the wild card game. I mean, he just drops back and is running for his life against them. And Donald, when he gets that interior pressure, nothing blows up an offense like pressure from the interior, literally. And Donald gives them so much trouble. And then you factor in that even though Seattle won last week, without Tyler Lockett, he's the glue that holds that passing game together.
Yep.
And he's just such a big loss. So, Shay, I don't disagree with you on that. I think Russell Wilson is probably a bench this week. And if Seattle's going to try to win, I think they really need to run the ball and be balanced in this game. I think you can. I mean, it's easier said than done, but I think that's an important key. On the Rams front, I think they're going to try to be balanced on the road here. I think Daryl Henderson's actually a play against Seattle because I think going on the road on a Thursday night, as good as Stafford is, you got to think they're going to try to run the ball and be balanced in this game, take that crowd out of it. So I feel like he's a solid play. Obviously, Cooper Kupp's a good play. One guy I want to mention, Van Jefferson continues to emerge in this 12 months.
Yeah, he's interesting because they'll take a couple deep shots in a game. Like DeSean Jackson is your traditional deep threat, but they go deep to Van Jefferson. He's got receiver blood. His dad, I believe, is a wide receiver coach for the Jets. So he certainly has the chops to be really, really good. He was, I believe, a third-round pick last year.
He's out of Florida. Here's a quick trivia thing. It's frustrating. AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Van Jefferson, and Dawson Knox were all on the same Ole Miss team, and they won like five games.
Nasty whiteout.
How is that even real? But anyway, I know nobody wants to hear me talk more about Ole Miss, but I think that – I mean, that's literally – that would be what? Maybe the best receiving core, tight end. Like, if that was your NFL core with those four guys, it would be one of the best in the league.
Yeah, that is pretty nuts. Or next week we've got, and this is a fantasy alert, we've got our first London game. So it's going to be a 9:30 kick, Jets at Falcons, or at Falcons, very loosely. Yeah, it's going to be counted as a home game for them, which sucks because NFC has one less home game this year, so they're getting seven natural home games.
It couldn't happen to a nicer team in Atlanta.
Falcons favored by 3.5 in London. I mean, the Jets, Falcon, like all my starts were from those guys last week. I don't love it as much this week. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson, again, is a must start in any game that he's going to be in. Corey Davis, I'm a little bit cooler on, especially this week. Same with Mike Davis. Is there any fantasy relevance for you in this game?
I'm benching. I'm 100% benching Mike Davis in this game. Because the Jets, even though Henry did have a good game against them, the Jets' run is usually fairly good. What's weird about the London game, Shay, is sometimes they're like really sluggish and sometimes they get buck wild.
Yeah.
It's like hard. And it's like it's very hard to analyze.
Yeah.
Because Zach Wilson had 297 yards, looked way better. Look, everybody was going so hard against him. His first 3 weeks he played, his matchup were at Carolina, New England at home, and at Denver. Horrifying for a rookie quarterback first three games there. And, you know, he had a better matchup against Tennessee, played well. Against Atlanta, pretty good matchup for him. Maybe he can, you know, have a decent game here. Maybe Corey Davis again, possibly pushing the ball down the field. So we'll see. I can see Jets Falcons get a little wilder than people think, but
that's pretty low over under at 43. Let me talk about the lowest, and it's the lowest one I've seen in a bit. Denver at Pittsburgh, 40.5 is the over. Do you like any of this game? Teddy Bridgewater got a concussion yesterday, didn't finish the game. He was ruled out at halftime. So it could be Drew Lock. This has the potential to be a pretty ugly game.
Yeah, it does. And when you look at 40.5, you see why. I feel like it should be 37 or 38. I just don't see either team moving the ball. I mean, there could be some turnovers. And
both teams have very good defenses. This is one of
the games where, you could make a legitimate argument to sitting down. It's hard to bench. You can't – it's hard to bench Najee Harris, but, you could – and he actually had a decent game again yesterday. It seems like he's doing the best he can considering they never score and their offensive line's crappy. But I don't see much fantasy value for anybody in this Denver-Pittsburgh game. And, hey, by the way, speaking of that, Drew Lock, I know against Baltimore's rough, but, he's not good at football.
Yeah. not who you want to trot out there as your starter. For my sit, I have another sit for this game. It's actually Deontay Johnson, who has been really good this year. Yesterday, he had 13 targets, 9 catches, 92 yards, and a touchdown. He's had double-digit targets each week and at least 12 fantasy points in every game. The Broncos' defense is just really, really good. They're going to get after Big Ben quickly, and their secondary especially is really good. So I think Deontay Johnson is going to garner a lot of attention. Chase Claypool's status is unknown at the moment that we're taping. He was out this past week. I think if he does play, that can help him a little bit, help Deontay Johnson a little bit. But as of right now, I do not like him, and I would, if you have the luxury, sitting Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, and Deontay has kind of emerged as their number one. It's just hard to watch Pitt. They just are struggling so much. And, I know everybody's down on Big Ben, as they should be, but this offensive line's got equal blame. They literally can't block anybody.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I like the Vikings guys. I think there's a huge bounce back effort from Minnesota on a 7-point game. I know Cousins burned last week, but I think everybody, we'll see Dalvin Cook. Hopefully gets going again, but everybody from Minnesota should be a good play at home against Detroit.
Mm-hmm. All right, Green Bay at Cincinnati. This could be an interesting game. Cincinnati's been kind of sneaky good. Packers favored by 4 since he has the super long week with having played Thursday night. So Green Bay favored by 4. I like, as a start, Tyler Boyd. He's coming off 9 catches, 118 yards. He's got 23 catches on the year and only 1 touchdown. And I anticipate Jair Alexander is one of the best corners in the league, traveling with Jamar Chase.
Yeah, no, Alexander's banged up. He got hurt yesterday.
I didn't see that.
He got hurt. I think it was an AC sprain.
Oh, so he's probably out. Okay.
But we'll see. We'll monitor his status coming up. But if he's out, that is a monster injury because he's a shutdown number one corner, and he's really – maybe the only thing on their defense that I like respect a lot.
They got the corner out of Georgia, Eric Stokes.
He's been pretty good.
But then they still got Kevin King out there, who's terrible. They just don't have a lot in the secondary outside of Jair Alexander. Darnell Savage is a nice safety.
Darius Smith being out for the year hurts their pass rush so much.
Yep.
That's a game I can't wait to see. Just as a fan, the Rodgers, Burrow, and Cincy, I know they came back and was ugly, but it was still a win.
Yeah.
That Green Bay Cincinnati should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Well, I'm curious. I don't have too much. I agree. Oh, yeah, CJ Azuma, maybe a tight end on the – I know he had the 2 touchdowns the other night. But, Burrow, I don't know. You kind of winced. Everybody's kind of flexing tight ends this year.
I would – definitely never flex a tight end unless you have, for whatever reason, like Travis Kelce.
Wrong word. Streaming, not flexing. Like people are picking up tight ends week to week.
Burrow loves the tight end.
He does.
If you look at his per game stats, so yesterday or Thursday was the first game he had over 2 targets. You're kind of playing scratch offs here. His best game before, so he had 5 catches, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns. The week before, 1 target, no catches. The week before that, 2 targets, 2 catches, 4 yards. The week before that, 2 catches, 2 targets, 2 catches, 35 yards. So you're kind of playing goal line scratch off.
The reason I probably mentioned that, obviously it's because he did it on Thursday Night Football and everybody saw it. But as long as if Higgins is out, it helps him a little.
Yes, yes, for sure.
But overall, you're right. I just wanted to mention this game. Miami-Tampa feels like it could be kind of ugly. I think Tampa will win, but it feels like it could be a little ugly.
Yeah, we'll see what the weather, you know, typically in this time of year, it's going to be, it could be like pretty rainy in Florida. So we'll see what the weather does. Obviously, the Bucs didn't do very well with the weather last night. But yeah, I mean, Miami, I don't know if you have anyone, like even Miles Gaskin against the Bucs is not like a recommended play, I would say. So I don't think Miami has anyone that's necessarily fantasy relevant for this week. The Bucs guys, you know, if you have Mike Edwards, Chris Godwin, Tom Brady, Gronk's going to be out. It looks like he has like, I think, four broken ribs and a punctured lung. He came back and played against the Rams with that injury, which is nuts. Their MRI there was wrong, but, yeah, I mean, the Bucs guys, you got to play if you have those guys. An interesting game, I think, is Philadelphia at Carolina. I actually really like Robbie Anderson this game. They just gave up, you know, you mentioned 11 catches, 186 yards, 3 touchdowns to Tyreek Hill. I don't know if you saw this. Smitty had a text yesterday, or I had a tweet yesterday that said, like, am I seeing a linebacker covering Tyreek Hill, the fastest player in the league with a linebacker, in like all caps, which made me giggle a little bit. But Robbie Anderson, while he doesn't have Tyreek Hill speed, he's very, very fast, and a similar option as far as a guy who takes the top off the defense. I don't think Philly necessarily gets that corrected in a couple days. So I really like Robbie Anderson this week.
Do you? I'm worried about his target share a little bit.
DJ Moore is the guy. DJ Moore is absolutely the guy, but Robbie Anderson is a big play threat.
Like last year, my Anderson had 1,000 yards. And it was like kind of them too. And this year, it's like DJ Moore, and then all these other guys are getting kind of targets. I want to mention a quick one, but I like Damian Harris against Houston. I think that's going to be an ugly game, and New England's going to try to pound the ball on the road. That's all I have to say about it. But I think it's a good week to start him because I think they're going to play with the lead, and it's going to be ugly, and they're going to just try to get out of there with like a 24-10 win or whatever. But I think he's a start next week, and I wanted to mention him.
Another game I wanted to mention, it's only relevant for fantasy purposes. It's Tennessee at Jacksonville. I really like Laviska Shenault. He's had 7 targets in 3 out of 4 games, at least 7 targets in 3 out of 4 games. He's coming off 6 catches for 99 yards. DJ Chark also hurt, looked like pretty badly in that game.
He's out for the year.
Okay. So I that makes me like Laviska even more. So Titans 4.5-point favorites. We mentioned Derrick Henry briefly. He's just a monster on another level. He's averaging, I just did the math out, he's averaging 28.25 carries a game. He's on pace if they play a full 7, if he plays a full 17 games, which, you know, if they, based on their division, they could clinch very early and they can rest him for, you know, a week or two. But he's on pace at this current rate for 480 carries, well over 500 touches for the regular season, which is ridiculous.
Speaking of Derrick Henry, he's the strongest, most advanced running back ever. Well, check out the Chevrolet Silverado, which is the strongest, most advanced version of the Chevrolet Silverado ever. Because this truck is dependable, like Derrick Henry is a fantasy football. Football season's in full swing. It's time to up your tailgating game. And the available multi-flex tailgate with 6 convenient configurations will give you a step up all football season long. There's the primary tailgate with opens with a push of the bottom of the key fob from inside the truck. Inner gate folds to a large step for easily getting in and out of the bed. There's an easy access configuration where the inner gate folds down, allowing you to reach farther into the bed. And it also can even become a desk or a surface for your tailgating meal. Chevrolet Silverado's modern advance with a ton of grit, a partner in getting things done. Silverado is strong and dependable as the people who drive them. The Chevrolet Silverado, the strongest, most Silverado ever. And it sounds like a heck of a vehicle to have during football season.
Absolutely. You don't want to bring anything else to a tailgate, bring anything else to help a friend move. Chevy Silverado, the absolute best in the game. A couple more quick fantasy plays I want to touch on for next week. We mentioned him before, Dalton Schultz. I really like him against the Giants next week. 425, America's Game of the Week slate. 10 targets, 7 catches for 70 yards last year against the Giants in week 16. I like him as a play this week. If you're trying to stream tight ends, he's available in some leagues.
Yeah, I think it could get a little wild in that the Cowboys-Giants game. You wouldn't think of it before the year, but the way these offenses are playing, this could be a lot of fantasy value on both teams. This could get a little wild.
Yeah. Another guy who's had a kind of a down year, DeAndre Hopkins, who I was really big on to going into the year. He's playing the 49ers. Last year against the Niners, he averaged 14 targets and 11 catches with 100 yards a game. I understand, you know, his target share this year is down, but I still really like him coming off an injury against San Francisco to reestablish himself as one of the league's top receivers, especially in fantasy.
This is kind of a weird game, this Niners Cardinals, because like everybody's going to anoint Arizona as the best team in the NFL off that Rams game. And like, I feel like the Niners may come out and fight them next week just because that's how
that's a tough division.
Yeah, but I mean, I liked Arizona against the Rams this week. Everybody anointed the Rams after the Bucs game. I was like, man, I just feel like that's how it is in this division. It's just it's a tough, you know, it's just a tough deal. Yeah. I don't like a lot of people. Colts Ravens Monday night, I don't think is a very good fantasy matchup.
One guy to watch out for that I don't think he's going to have like a huge game or anything like that, but one guy who I think is worth a waiver pickup, especially if you're in a keeper league, Rashad Bateman. He's been on IR. He just got activated off of it. So he is eligible to play next week. Rashad Bateman, first round pick, was having a really, really good camp and then he got hurt. So let's see if he can come back, maybe establish some of that target share away from Hollywood Brown, who's been getting a lot, and kind of eat as a fantasy player.
Yeah, I also want to mention, I mean, Lat Murray, because Tyson Williams is out, had 18 carries.
Coach's decision. Healthy scratch.
Yeah, I know.
They activated Le'Veon Bell off the practice squad to just kind of like see what he has.
Yeah, I felt like we thought Murray's role would come more and more. I mean, Murray's an ad this week for sure if you get a chance.
Yeah, he should be owned in most leagues. He had 18 carries for, I believe, 59 yards and a touchdown. Not like crazy
not
numbers.
Not a bad game for Denver, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, no catches. He's not like a receiving back really at all. Speaking of receiving backs, I have one guy who's a surprise play for next week, and it's a guy I absolutely hate, and it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
So he's playing better.
He's going to be home against the Buffalo Bills. He played them one time last year, and it was actually very interesting that the two games that they played, because the one game they played in Buffalo, I think it was on Thursday Night Football.
It was like a Tuesday or Wednesday. It was weird.
Oh, yeah, it was like a makeup game. Yeah.
It was a makeup game. They played like a 4 o'clock afternoon game, and I remember everybody thought it was going to be a shootout, and the Bills put like three or four guys in the box and just dared them to Helaire the whole game, and that's precisely what the Chiefs did.
Yeah, so it was a 26-17 game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 26 carries for 161 yards. The Bills kind of thought they had the blueprint on the Chiefs, and surprisingly, they actually did. The Bucs used a very similar blueprint to just kind of move everyone back and don't let Tyreek Hill beat you. And that worked for them. They were in the game. Like they lost by 9 points. They were in that game really the whole game. Their offense just kind of sputtered. But if you hold the Chiefs to 26 points, you think you're doing the right thing. It goes to the playoff game, and you know the Chiefs score 38. The Bills couldn't really rush the passer, even with a Chiefs depleted offensive line. So it'll be interesting to see this week. It's a really high over-under, 56.5. I love the under, but I really like Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a fantasy start because I think they're going to do a similar thing. I think Buffalo is going to play off a lot, and I think Kansas City is just going to be forced to run the ball. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, to his credit, has been playing bad ever since I tweeted his stock is at an all-time low.
Yeah, and he had 102 yards Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think he's a play. Are there any additional plays that you like for next week?
I think that covers most of them. I just, once again, thanks to everybody listening. We're going to continue to focus a little more on the next week, and we're going to re-push some clips later in the week when you're figuring out your start set stuff. So I think that's fun. And also want to thank Nick for sitting in on Dear Mr. Vance yesterday. Yeah. Saw it went well and the positive feedback, and really just really like Dear Mr. Fantasy every week. It seems like we're doing well with it.
I love it. I was so excited. Shout out to Playboy Marty. He cut up a couple clips for me yesterday just because I asked, like, I was very right for fantasy. I steered some people in the correct direction. There's one guy out there who's actually tracking our advice and picks for Dear Mr. Fantasy. So I'm excited to see what that number looks like today because I definitely steered a few people to the winner's circle. So be sure to tune into that every Sunday at 11:30 Eastern on the Barstool Sportsbook. It's been fun, Mincy. So what's your outlook the rest of the week with the World Series?
Well, so this is fun, man. Just being in Vegas, I'm just looking outside the window right now. This is just kind of surreal being back here today, going to play a $600 tournament. I guess Vegas time, I mean, it's 3 hours earlier here. Right. So I'm going to play. It'll be late afternoon there. And then I'm playing a $1,000 one tomorrow. Well, hopefully I make day two. And then The rest of the week, I think I'm going to try to, if we get some momentum, like I think we will, and I'll be blogging a lot of this too, I'm going to try to stay out here a few days and possibly play a few more. And so we're just going to get out here, see what happens. This is the trying to get my game sharp again before the main event. And it's just fun to be back at the World Series. Poker News, which is the big poker media, did a big interview with me yesterday that'll be out in the next day or two. That should be a lot of fun too. So we're trying to take it to the streets and out here with Nate and, you know, enjoying just it's surreal being back in Vegas. And felt good with how I played yesterday, even though I was only out there 2 hours. I think there might be a run at me in the next day or two in one of these tournaments. I really do.
Are you staying near Nate? Are you guys like in the same hotel?
Yeah, so we're at the M Resort, great Penn property in Henderson, which is actually like 15 minutes away. But I'm going to try to take this week real seriously. When we get done with this fantasy, I'm about to go run on the treadmill. I think it's all but succeeding in poker, the getting your mind right, you know, and I'm trying to get on that path. And I'm going to try to exercise every morning, write blogs, do lots of video clips. It's different being out here for Barstool than just playing.
Sure.
You know, so I'm going to make sure I'm conscious of that. It's all about pushing content. So we're going to do that and then play and then look for dinner break updates, all kinds of stuff on my social media at Barstool Mincy.
Nice. Good luck this week, buddy. Big week for you, obviously. So I wish you the best of luck with the cards, and hopefully all our fantasy players can stay in the winner's circle next week. Feel free to hit us up with questions. Shoot me a DM if you have a specific fantasy question. If you show your 5-star review, I will answer it. So let's go. Keep those 5-star reviews for Fantasy Football Factor.
We appreciate
coming.
The reviews. I'll do the same thing on that. You know, if we really do appreciate everybody giving us good reviews, and we're getting, you and I both get so many messages, which is great. All about listener interaction, and we try to do the best we can to answer them, especially on Sunday with your Mr. Fantasy. Once again, thanks to Miller Lite, awesome title sponsor.
Also, hold on, right before we go, I have to give a special shout out Chuck Nasso, who does like Barstool Main handle Instagram, asked me a question yesterday during Dear Mr. Fantasy, and he said he drafted fully off of my ranking sheets. His team's loaded. Guys, he's one of these guys. He's got Cooper Kupp, Darren Waller, Cordell Patterson, Kyler Murray, Dalvin Cook. I mean, guys loaded. So shout out to everyone who took our rankings, and we very much appreciate that. It means more than you know. But thank you for another week. Mincy, best of luck in the poker, and thank you guys for listening.